So John 16, reading from verse 5 down to verse 16. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. Okay, we'll stop the reading there and let's take a moment to pray as we look at this passage together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We pray for help as we look at it, that your Spirit would illuminate our hearts and our eyes and our minds to see the truth in your word. Lord, we pray your Spirit would come and transform us, would direct us, would guide us into truth. We pray for your help, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word, by your Spirit. We pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder, have you ever met someone and then you ask them what they do? They go on to explain what they do and then you walk away from the conversation and you still have no idea what they do. Maybe you meet a friend and ask, oh, what does John do? Well, he told me last week, but I still have no idea. Well, this was quite close to my experience growing up with my dad. We knew his job had something to do with seaweed, so we called him the Seaweed Man. Later on, growing up, we joked that he really worked for the CIA. Well, you can test me afterwards to see if I can finally explain what he actually does. Well, maybe sometimes we wonder, what is it that the Spirit does? We've heard it lots of times before, but we can't really explain what is it that the Spirit does. What's his role? What's his job? Why did he come? Why is he not doing the things that I thought he would do? Well, this passage in John helps us to understand some of the work that the Spirit is doing. Jesus is speaking to his disciples about the work of the Spirit. So firstly, we see that the Spirit comes because Jesus goes. Jesus once again is speaking about leaving. He's speaking to his disciples who are filled with grief. Jesus has told them again and again that he's leaving and the trouble they will face in the world, and they're filled with grief. Have you ever tried to comfort someone in grief? Someone who is sad? Maybe you tried to comfort a friend who'd lost a job. What do you say to them? Maybe you were moving to a different country and you're trying to comfort those you were leaving behind. This is a little like what Jesus was doing. He was leaving them, but trying to comfort them in their grief. But amazingly, Jesus tells them it's for their good that he's going. That must have sounded mad. Imagine you were leaving the country and you said to your friends, it's for your good that I'm leaving. It just doesn't make any sense. But when we see what Jesus means by his going and who then would come, we can understand the good that it is. We have this concept again of going and coming. It says, unless Jesus goes away, the advocate or the counselor, well, he won't come. what does this mean? Does this mean that Jesus and the Spirit can't be in the same place at once? Well, no, it's not about that at all. It's not about the location or where they are in space, but it's about the work to be done. Jesus' going away is his going away to the cross. His going away to the cross, his death, his resurrection, his ascension to the Father. That's his journey. That's his going away. And it's without that, the ministry of the Spirit wouldn't be possible. Without Jesus going away to the cross, his resurrection and his ascension, the Spirit's ministry would be impossible. And this helps us to get a really good grasp on, well, what is it that the Spirit does? What's his ministry all about? Well, the ministry of the Spirit is not to give some sort of vague spiritual energy, but it's a specific ministry of proclaiming and applying the work of Jesus. It's not that we think that the Spirit will come and buoy us up ready for the day, but the Spirit's ministry is to come proclaiming and applying the ministry of Jesus. He's coming doing that to his people and in this world. This passage teaching us about the work of the Spirit, what he's come to do. Maybe we've had all sorts of preconceived ideas of what the Spirit should do or might do. But we need to look to God's word to find out what he does do. We see the Spirit's coming, his coming to the earth, coming to his people, is directly related to Jesus going away. He comes proclaiming Jesus' death and resurrection. He applies that to our lives. He doesn't just point us to Jesus. He actually brings us to him. He introduces us to Jesus. He's like that friend who says, let me introduce you to this colleague of mine. The Spirit comes and he introduces us to Jesus. We come to know Jesus through the Spirit's work in our lives. The disciples are filled with grief because of what lies ahead. But it's for their good. And it's wonderfully for our good that Jesus went away. That he went on this journey to the cross, to death, to rise again, to go to the Father, because then our sin is dealt with, and it means that the Spirit can then come and do his work in our lives to change us, to rescue us. So in our grief, in our despair, we have one who comes to us as a comforter, as a counselor, one who comes alongside us, introducing us to Jesus, saying, look at Jesus, look what he's done for you, and rest in that. We have one who comes alongside as a comforter. He declares and applies Jesus' work into our lives. We need him when we face the hatred Martin talked about last week in the world, or unexpected circumstances, or just in normal, happy, day-to-day life. We need him. We need the Spirit who comes alongside and brings us to Jesus. So the Spirit comes because Jesus goes. Next, we see that the Spirit exposes the world's guilt. So the Spirit could come because of the work that Jesus did, that work of proclaiming and applying the work of Jesus to us. But there's more that the Spirit does. Look at verse 8. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. So far, the Spirit's work seen in the series we've been doing, looking at these passages in John, the work that the Spirit has been doing has been mostly defensive. He's been strengthening the disciples. He's been enabling them to deal with hostility, strengthening, equipping them. The Spirit helping us to remember the words of Jesus. But now we see that the Spirit seems to go on the attack. He goes on the offensive. One writer compares this to a courtroom. Imagine a lawyer standing in a courtroom. He's your lawyer who's been defending you following various attacks from the opposition. He's been defending your case. But now the opposition's key witness in the case takes the stand. And your lawyer takes the initiative and he begins to prosecute. He now begins to expose the lies that were in the witness's case. He becomes the prosecuting counsel to show that, well, you're in the clear. This witness, he was wrong, and his word can't count in this courtroom. Well, you can imagine the spirit, his work becomes a little like this. The witness takes the stand, except now this time the witness is the world. And the spirit begins to expose the guilt that the world has. The testimony of the world, the guilt of the world, the thinking of the world, the spirit is now exposing those things as wrong, exposing the guilt that was there. The world is guilty, the world's thinking and believing is wrong, and the spirit is at work to expose that. There's three areas that are mentioned that the spirit is exposing. Look at verse 9 to 11. It says, in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me, in regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer, and in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. These are the ways that the Spirit is exposing the guilt of the world. You imagine the world in the witness box, and the Spirit as the prosecuting counsel, showing and proving that the world is guilty in these areas. First, we have sin. This rejection of Jesus. The Spirit is working to expose the guilt of the world when it comes to sin. People don't believe in Jesus. This is the most fundamental and fatal error of the world, that does not believe in Jesus. The world's definition of sin is ever-changing. It's flexible. It's not even a nice word. The world's standard of right and wrong is subjective, it's fluid. But the Spirit is working to expose the guilt of the world when it comes to sin. That they've rejected Jesus. Now, this isn't referring to the sin of not knowing about Jesus. This isn't referring to ignorance. This is referring to a rejection of Jesus. People do not believe in him. And the Spirit is at work to expose the world to be wrong in that regard. The Spirit is proving the world to be wrong about Jesus. You don't believe in him. But how does he expose it? How does he do this? Well, it's through us, isn't it? It's through the church that we need to be the people who are seeking to hold Jesus out to those around us, saying, we believe in Jesus. We believe what he did, and it will expose the sin that people don't believe in Jesus. The Spirit will be at work in the world as we hold Jesus out to others. The next thing mentioned is in verse 10, righteousness. The Spirit is at work to expose the world's guilt when it comes to righteousness. It says, about righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. Well, this was a bit of a head-scratcher for me when I first read it. How does Jesus going to the Father explain the fact that the world is guilty when it comes to righteousness? How does that make sense? Well, here we're thinking very specifically about Jesus' life and ministry. And we saw that the world, they saw fit to have Jesus put to death. In their eyes, that was a very good and a righteous thing to do, since in their minds he was a blasphemer, he was a revolutionary, it was better that he was put aside and dealt with. But in Jesus going to the Father, he was vindicated, this big word, vindicated. He was proved to be right, he was in the right, he was vindicated as righteous. The world's standard of righteousness, what was the right thing to do, the right way to act, that was proved totally wrong because Jesus ascended to the Father and was shown to have been accepted by God. The Jewish leaders who even said, well, it's better for one man to die than for a whole nation to perish, trying to protect their national interest as the people of Israel. Let's just get rid of this one man. That'll be a really good thing to do. But actually, as Jesus went to the Father was saying, yes, I accept what Jesus has done as right. And your righteousness, well, that was totally wrong, what you did. The world's standard of righteousness was wrong because Jesus was shown to be righteous. Have you ever been proved right? It's a good feeling, isn't it? Maybe we need the Lord's help to work with our pride in those cases. Maybe you're having a debate about something as you're out on a walk. Why is the sky blue? You're having a debate. No, it's this. No, it's that. And you get home and you look it up. Yes, I got it right. Well, here we can have confidence that Jesus has been proved right. He doesn't need help with his pride, but he's been proved right. What Jesus has done was right, was good, was accepted by the Father, and actually what the world did, what they decided, was proved to be wrong. The fact that Jesus went to the Father through his death and resurrection proved his acceptance by the Father and his righteousness. We see that even today in the world's eyes, Jesus' death essentially highlights Jesus' failure in people's eyes. Because Jesus died, well, he failed. He said all these things, but he died, and that's it. Jesus is dead. All that he said and did doesn't really matter. But the Spirit is working to expose the guilt of this thinking and to show that the cross is the place where Jesus' innocence and righteousness are proclaimed. His death didn't stop there. Because he ascended to the Father, that thinking is faulty. To think, well, Jesus died and that's it. We don't need to listen to what he says. Because he ascended to the Father, that blows that out of the water. Jesus was in the right. And the Spirit is working through us to expose the guilt when the world rejects that. Then there's judgment. Look at verse 11. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The Spirit is convicting the world of guilt in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Jesus went through a trial. We see this in the Gospel of John, that Jesus is tried. But those judgments were mistaken. Those judgments were false. Those judgments were wrong. And even as we've been looking at in our home groups this past year, how unfair those trials were, how unjust they were. And the Spirit is exposing the guilt of the world in regard to judgment. And in fact, it's actually Satan, the prince of this world, and all those who follow his ways who stand under judgment. The tables have been turned because of the cross. Jesus isn't the one who's being judged. It's Satan and the world that is being judged because of the cross, because of what Jesus has done, proving to be right. The world now stands condemned. The devil, who is the source of all falsehood and lies, is the one who will be judged. All those who distort God's true judgments stand under God's judgment. And Jesus, who was judged, now becomes the judge, the one who stands over these judgments. And the Spirit is working to expose the guilt of the world when it comes to judgment. They got it wrong about Jesus. They get it wrong about God's ways. The world follows the prince of this world. And therefore they themselves, and maybe we too, stand under that judgment. That when we reject Jesus, that when we say, that was right what happened to him, or he stayed dead, we're wrong in that regard. And we stand under judgment. But But how does the Spirit do this work? How does he work in that courtroom, exposing the world for their guilt? We mentioned it earlier, through the church, it's through us. The Spirit is working through the church to expose the world for what it truly is and how it truly thinks. It's like we're holding up a mirror to the world to expose the guilt that's there, to show the world Jesus, to say there's guilt when we reject him. By proclaiming Jesus and living as his people, the Spirit is working through us to expose the world's faulty way of thinking and living. It's helpful, isn't it, sometimes to have a friend with you when you're out for dinner. You need someone to tell you that you've got chocolate on your face after you finish dessert. Someone exposes that there's something going on that you hadn't seen. It's like our role with the Spirit, that we try to expose in the world something they may not realize, but something that they're guilty of for rejecting Jesus. The Spirit is working through the church to expose the mess the world is in. And we can take comfort in the knowledge that Jesus is the righteous one, that he's been proved right, and that the Spirit is working to expose the guilt of the world. We need to be ready then to call people to trust Jesus. So the Spirit comes because Jesus has gone. The Spirit is exposing the guilt in the world. And we see another way in which the Spirit is working. Look at the last few verses from verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide us into all the truth. Jesus refers to the Spirit as the Spirit of truth. He will guide us into all the truth. And we see from these verses that this truth is not a new truth, but it's a truth that's coming from Jesus. Look as we read on, the second half of verse 13. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. What the Spirit is guiding us into is the truth that comes from Jesus. The Spirit will only speak what he hears, and what he receives is from Jesus. As we look at church history, we see that the Spirit would help the disciples and others to finish the words of Scripture. He would guide them into all the truth regarding what to write for the generations to come. Of what had come before, of what was yet to come for these disciples, the events of Jesus' death and resurrection, the story of the early church in Acts, Paul's journeys and his letters. This isn't something we're involved in now, writing new words of Scripture, but the Spirit is still guiding us into all the truth. And there's a number of ways that he still does that today. So primarily and definitively, he guides us in the truth of his word. It's only by the Spirit that we can truly understand the words of Scripture. He opens our eyes and our hearts to understand his word. There's plenty of scholars and academics who know far more about the Bible than I do, but yet they fail to understand truly what it's about. That it's about life. That it's about trust in Jesus. The Spirit opens our eyes. He illuminates our hearts to understand. So as we read the Bible on our own or in a group, or maybe in church like this, we need to pray that the Spirit would open our eyes, turn the lights on in our minds so that we might understand it. But that understanding doesn't stop in our minds. The understanding moves out into our lives. This knowledge, this truth, the Spirit guides us into all the truth to then live out Scripture, to live out how we live our lives, the way we live, what we do, how we interact with others, how we speak, the decisions that we make for our home, with our finances, need to now be shaped by God's word, by his spirit. He uses his word to work in us and change us. And the spirit is also directing us into all the truth when we come up against situations and circumstances that are new to us or new to our generation. Circumstances that weren't present at the time the Bible was written. One example is the explosion of technology. How do we interact with this? Well, the Bible doesn't specifically mention iPads and computers and laptops, but it gives us principles and guidance, and the Spirit guides us into that truth from his word, how we're to interact with different circumstances and situations. He speaks to us through God's word, and he helps us to make applications to new and unfamiliar situations. He helps us to know what to do when we're faced with people who we maybe don't get on with. People whose worldviews are totally different to ours, and worldviews that didn't exist at the time of the Bible. The Spirit guides us to help us as we walk through these paths, as we rely on him and look to him in his word. Another way that the Spirit leads and directs us into truth is in decisions or situations we face in life. This one is a lot harder though, isn't it? Because it's in these circumstances that we don't have a guaranteed guidance. We don't have a definitive answer, like when we look at God's word and we see truths there and ways in which we can apply them. When we look for guidance, sometimes it's a little unclear. Maybe we feel particularly called or led to do a particular job, or to take a particular course in college, or to serve in church in a particular way, or to go out with a particular person. Maybe when facing those sorts of decisions, we certainly can get a sense of the Spirit's leading in our lives. He's there to guide us and help us, but it's one that we need to test as we go through. We test with others. We test by God's word as the Spirit leads and guides us. We can have complete certainty about the manner in which the Spirit is leading us in our lives, the way in which he wants us to live, but the specific details, they're usually flexible. And he's guiding us. And in all this guiding into truth, can you see what the Spirit is doing? Look at verse 14. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. He's bringing glory to Jesus. In the completion of Scripture, in the understanding of his word, in the application of its truth to all sorts of situations, in the guiding through life, it's Jesus he's bringing glory to. So if Jesus isn't being glorified, we can be sure it's not of the Spirit. If what we see or experience is at odds with Jesus, well, we can be sure it's not of the Spirit. And any prompting or leading or guiding that we have needs to be tested by God's word as he guides us into all the truth. We can be sure as we look to his word and we find help to make those decisions, and as we navigate life in how we live for him. So the Spirit comes because Jesus goes away, goes to the cross, completes his work. The Spirit comes exposing the guilt of the world, and he guides us into all the truth, which is so much part of what we do, all of our lives guided by the Spirit. So hopefully that helps us to understand a little more of what the Spirit does. You can test me afterwards if I can explain what my dad does. But hopefully as we look at God's word, we can see the Spirit's work coming to us, proclaiming the truth of Jesus, exposing the world's guilt and guiding us into all the truth. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for the work of your Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross. You completed your mission so that the Spirit could come and complete his work. That work that is ongoing in this world, that he is proclaiming and applying that wonderful work of Jesus. Lord, and we see him exposing the guilt of the world. Help us to partner with him as he does that, to be people who hold out Jesus and seek to save others. And Lord, we thank you so much for his work in our lives, guiding us into all the truth. Thank you for your word and how you guided others to complete that so that we would have that for all time. And we thank you so much for how the Spirit guides us in our lives day to day through your word, through your prompting, through your help. And Lord, we pray for wisdom as we seek your guidance and your help. Lord, lead us and help us to walk in your ways and your truth. And Lord, we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.